Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you, man?
Dude, wiki wiki, wild wild west, Jim West, excited to do this movie today. Oh shit, I have the wrong movie, don't I? No. Where am I? We have to go back to the future.
Marty!
Man, I am so pumped to be doing Back to the Future. I can't believe it's been 50 episodes already. Man, we got a lot in the rearview mirror that we've done with 49 previous movies. But what's it feel like to be at number 50, JD?
I can't believe it's been that many. I mean, we're still at about under a year or right at a year total?
We're coming up, I think, next month.
Man, and I remember you calling me and being like, "Hey, I got this idea. My pen protector in my pocket's exploded, and I've got this idea for a podcast. And oh, I'm Kyle. I'm a nerd." That's you, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah.
No, I was so excited when you first approached me about doing this podcast. I thought it was a great idea, and we've had some ups and we've had some downs, and neither of us have done a podcast before, so audience. You know, we're learning along the way, so we need you to continue to participate. You guys have been great, telling us what you want, telling us what you hate, sending us some love and sending us some hate just the same. So thank you guys for tuning in and continuing to listen, and we love what we're doing.
Yeah, and if you're new to the podcast, maybe you saw this pop up on your feed, and you're like, Back to the Future, that sounds fun. We do two different episodes every week. So this one is what we call a teaser trailer, where we get onto YouTube, we pull up the actual official theatrical trailer for the film, we listen to it, we break it down, we talk box office numbers, critic response, customer response, and then we have the full review that comes out every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and that's where we take a deep dive into the movie and we break it down scene by scene, we play clips from the film, we talk about what we love, what's aged well, what hasn't aged well, so even though we may be massive fans of these movies and of the franchises, call it like we see it. If stuff's bad, we say it's bad. If it's great, we say it's great. So I think that's one of the cool parts of the show. Wouldn't you agree, JD?
Very much so. And again, rewatching these movies as an adult, like, we're relearning the same way as if we're watching it for the first time. And a lot of times we're surprised by what we see, both good and bad.
So if you go onto our Twitter right now, we have a special promotion going on. We're going to put one on Instagram as well, so we'll have two of them, where all you have to do on Twitter is like, share, and comment on the post that is talking about this movie right here for the teaser trailer, and then we're going to pick a random winner, and you will get a one-month free trial of MoviePass. JD, how awesome is that?
Do I get an opportunity to win that?
You do not.
Shit.
Plus, I've tried to give it to you before. You haven't cashed in.
Well, you like to give out things to people all the time. Sometimes it's unsavory. Sometimes that's not bad. But all I'm going to say is that rumor about you in college.
You know what they say. Believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear.
Yeah, you know what they also say. A roll in the hay gets you chlamydia the next day.
So real quick, if you are new to the podcast or maybe you've been listening for a couple episodes, again, thank you. But make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and anywhere else you listen to this show. And then leave us a 5-star review. Help us grow the podcast. Word of mouth is huge for us. We don't have a marketing budget here. Everything is grassroots. So give us a little water for that grass. Help us grow. And then right now, we're going to jump into the original trailer. So what you're going to do, if you have access to it, get on to YouTube, type in Back to the Future original trailer. You're going to be looking for the trailer titled Back to the Future 1985 theatrical trailer Michael J. Fox movie HD. And it was uploaded by Movie Clips Classic Trailers and has 1.1 million views. I'll give a 3, 2, 1 click countdown and we will watch this together. JD, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1 click.
Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. Marty leads an ordinary life.
No McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
Well, history is going to change.
And 1985 is not his year. But Dr. Brown is about to change all that.
Are you telling me you built the time machine out of a DeLorean?
He's sending Marty 30 years back in time. Now, he's trapped in the past.
This has got to be a dream.
About to meet...
Chocolate.
...his future father.
He's a peeping Tom.
Wow!
And he's making an impression on his mother.
It's an absolute dream. And he can sleep in my room.
Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events.
Now, he's got to make his mother and father fall in love.
For crying out loud, I haven't even been born yet.
And only Dr. Brown... can help him get back to the future.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
Precisely.
Michael J. Fox.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Christopher Lloyd.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Back to the Future.
All right, Butthead, go first.
This is a great trailer. This is the epitome of the 80s, the music, the actors, the name dropping. Everything about this movie and this trailer is freaking fantastic. I will say, like, they do a great job of sort of building up the urgency and the tension in a really simple way. They simplify the story to, like, the base elements. Time travel, make parents fall in love, you don't want to perish. We don't need to know much more, but it suggests that there's a much more complex story and there's a lot of relationships and character building that does happen that this trailer does hint at. I think this is probably like one of the most technically sound trailers that we've seen.
Yeah, it's definitely very technically sound. I like that you brought up that point. The one thing that I noticed right off the bat is, yeah, they're doing a lot of name dropping. Steven Spielberg presents, like they're riding that Jaws ET gravy train to get people to tune in. I think the trailer relies on a lot of humor, and there's a lot of humor in Back to the Future, but I think they're missing the magic, which is what makes Back to the Future special in the trailer. Also, where the heck is Biff? I didn't see Biff in the trailer hardly at all.
Oh, Biff is a special treat for the moviegoers.
I know. Yeah, I think there's ways to bake him in a little bit more. But again, this is 1985. Like, trailers came a long way in the next 10 years with the way that they would put them together and not relying so heavily on a Steven Spielberg film starring Michael J. Fox. There's a lot of that going on. I didn't love the trailer as much as I thought I would, but it's Back to the Future and I'm excited to watch this movie.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you. You know, when we did I Know What You Did Last Summer the previous week, I literally got chills and shivers during the trailer, which I didn't necessarily get here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that you're right when you say maybe this doesn't capture the magic. But I like to think of it in terms of we talk about wrestling a lot, and this trailer is kind of the Bret Hart of wrestlers to me. Where you're not going to see Bret Hart powerbombing somebody off of the top of a Hell in the Cell onto a table. But it's going to do everything right to draw in the audience.
I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Yeah, good comparison, man.
Is he still sick?
Who? Bret Hart?
Yeah.
No, he's fine. That was Ric Flair that got sick.
No, I think Bret Hart got sick too.
Did he? Okay. Yeah, hope he's doing well. Shout out to Bret Hart and somewhere in Calgary, Alberta. I don't know if they lives in Canada anymore, but who knows, eh? Let's do some box office numbers here. Back to the Future debuted at the box office on July 3rd, 1985. JD, were you born at that point? Were you June?
It came out in June, so I would have been...
So it came out July 3rd.
July 3rd, so I would have been 4 months old.
Okay. I was just 13 days old when this movie came out. So right around, I'm June 20th, so right around my birthday. The film was distributed by TriStar with a runtime of 111 minutes and a production budget of $19 million. Back to the Future opened number one at the box office in week one, bringing in $11.1 million. In week two, they would stay at that number one spot, bringing in $10.6 million. The 10-day total was $32.6 million, so they've almost doubled their budget already. JD, thoughts on the first 10 days?
I would have thought it would have been a little bit more robust than that.
Okay, but again, 1985, they're probably around like 1,700 screens.
I'm not saying that I'm not disappointed by that. Obviously, to recoup your budget in 1985 by that much that quickly is excellent.
Now, do you think the schoolyard effect was in play?
It has to be. There's no way it's not.
Okay, and this might be the movie that's had the most long-term success that we've done so far. So Back to the Future was the number one movie for 12 weeks. It stayed in the top 10 for 24 weeks. Back to the Future would gross $210,609,762 domestically, with another $170 million internationally. So the worldwide box office total was $381,109,762. Not bad on close to $20 million. JD, what'd you think about the final numbers there?
Yeah, that's a great investment.
Yeah, really. Neither one of us are great at math, so I don't want to try and guess the return on investment there. But yeah, I mean, they did very well. Now, to kind of go back to your point, yeah, I know you're a little disappointed. You thought maybe it would open, what, 20, 25 million first week. I don't know if films were like capable of doing that back then. I just don't, maybe there weren't enough screens, there weren't enough seats, because it seems like everything in this time period, even like the massive hits, were like only like 10 to 15.
Yeah, but I thought this was going to be the one that sort of broke that mold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Let's do the top 10 movies of the week for July 3rd, 1985. And this is really the who's who of film cinema here. So number one at the box office was Back to the Future. Number two, Pale Rider. Number three, Rambo First Blood Part 2. Number four, Cocoon. Number five, The Emerald Forest. Number six, St. Elmo's Fire. Number seven, future episode, The Goonies. Number eight, Fletch, possibly, if it wins a poll topic for Chevy Chase, could be on there. Number nine, Red Sonja. Number 10, Prizzy's Honor. Might be butchering that last one. But JD, what'd you think about the top 10?
Yeah, you were right to call this a who's who. I mean, this is a definitive week in 1985 cinema. There's some movies that I haven't seen. I know what probably most of them are. But, I mean, The Goonies right up there. Fletch, which I do not like Fletch.
Excuse me. It's not as good as I had hoped it would be when I got it on DVD one time. So I kind of thought more it would be funnier.
Do you remember, or did we, I don't know if we discussed this already, but we used to watch Fletch because one of the coaches in college would always bring it on DVD for road trips.
Oh my gosh. Anderson?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the first time I ever heard of Fletch, and let alone watched it. And he was like, y'all, we're going to watch Fletch. And I was like, the hell is Fletch? And he's like, it's Chevy Chase. And I was like, all right.
And yeah, bit of an accent. Yeah.
I did not like it.
Yeah, we all sat there and it was super quiet. Like, he laughed like a hyena and we were like, we don't get it. Obviously, The Goonies, it's part of our intro to the podcast. Like, you know that we're going to have that one coming down the line. I don't know if we're going to save it for like 75. or episode 100. I was thinking
75.
Yeah, 75 might be good. So let's put it on the books. 25 weeks from now, we're going to be doing the Goonies.
Make it a quarter quell.
Yeah, and then episode number 100 will be Back to the Future Part 2. So get ready for that. We'll just do it every 50. JD, let's do some critic and audience response. As always, we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response of the critics. We'll use Amazon to gauge the response of the customers. All right, how do you think the critics received Back to the Future?
I have to think that this was a very well-received movie. It is the kind of film that has the built-in heritage and lineage for success. I know that there was some production issues with, you know, casting Marty McFly that I'm sure we'll touch on later.
Oh, yeah.
But to have Michael J. Fox and Zemeckis and Spielberg and Lloyd and just everything about this movie from, again, a technical standpoint is very sound. And it's a great movie. It's a great story. It tackles time travel in a really great way. Like there are some plot holes, but they are minimal. And when it comes to time travel, those are easy to forgive because, yeah, nobody on Earth has ever actually time traveled. So we don't know what it's like.
Right.
It's like the movie Superbad when they were writing about sex when they were 14 and none of them had ever had sex. You can't fault them. They had no idea what was going on. With that being said, I feel like critics smiled upon this universally. I know it's held up. It's lasted the test of time. The legacy behind this movie continues to grow. I don't necessarily, I'm sure I'm going to be off by a few points here or there. So I'm feeling I'm going to be a little under, and I just don't want to be overly gracious, but I'm going to say 89.
Okay. Great. Good guess. So the actual critic response for the movie is 96% fresh, and the audience response on Rotten Tomato was 94%. So yeah, you're right on the money. I think most of the critics just love this movie. Roger Ebert gave the film 3.5 out of 4 stars and said, shows not only a fine comic touch, but also lighthearted humanism of a Frank Capra. What do you think?
Can't argue with him. I mean, we've been hit and miss with him in the past, but when we agree with him, we're right on.
Yeah. I like this review a little bit better. Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune gave the film 4 out of 4 stars and said, Zemeckis and Gale give us 2 priceless scenes in which the young time traveler simply regards his parents to be with wonderment, delight, and empathy, and we cannot help but share that emotion and relate it to our own lives. What do you think about Gene Siskel?
That's a little bit more of an in-depth analysis that touches on some of the themes and subtext to the movie, for sure.
Let's hear from the customers, because I always like doing these on Amazon Prime here, see what we have. So, wow, this DVD, first off, Blu-ray has been purchased quite a few times. So out of 4,149 reviews, it carries a 4.8 out of 5 star rating. And then I've got one here from C. Goulet, G-O-U-L-E-T, who said, 1.21 gigawatts, great Scott. If you haven't seen this film, you're missing out on one of the best adventures ever made. Christopher Lloyd is simply brilliant. Michael J. Fox brings tremendous energy and guts to Marty, and Thomas F. Wilson, who plays Biff, creates one of the scene's most consistent and despicable villains ever. Robert Zemeckis always has a way of making Spielberg look good. Run, don't walk. Best not for really young kids, of course, but that one's up to you. What do you think about the customers?
That's a pretty solid review. Really well thought out, well written. And attacks the whole adventure element, which we haven't necessarily touched on in our review. I know we'll get into it later, but I mean, this is an adventure film the same way Indiana Jones is an adventure film.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. Yeah. And I think, you know, I mentioned this, you know, a little bit earlier in the episode. I think that's where the magic is. Had it been just comedic timing, this movie is really good, but it's not timeless.
Good point.
Yeah, we'll definitely be diving deep into that in the full review. JD, what's one thing you look forward to most when we get into the full review for Back to the Future on Wednesday?
Oh, clearly Huey Lewis. hands down, I'm a big Huey fan. I've seen him live a handful of times, and seeing him in this movie always makes me smile.
Yeah. Yeah. When they were doing the 30-year Blu-ray release, they had a big special on Jimmy Kimmel where they actually brought out the DeLorean and Doc and Marty got out. And then in the middle, Huey Lewis stands up in the crowd and he goes, I'm sorry. I'm afraid you're just being too darn loud. He just sits back down and Kimmel's like, thank you, Huey. Huey Lewis, everyone. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Huey Lewis. We'll definitely be talking about the Huey Lewis scene and also his music, which is what really makes this movie, I think, click. It's what makes time travel possible.
Or oh, yeah.
Movies.
And I don't know if we'll get into the whole fiasco and conspiracy and chaos between Huey Lewis and the soundtrack in this movie and Ghostbusters, but maybe we can save that for the Ghostbusters episode.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. So make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast. Again, this full episode is going to be out on Wednesday, and all our previous episodes, all 49 of them, are in the archives. You can follow us on Twitter at Back in Time Pod, and then don't forget to go on Twitter right now and enter yourself into that promotion giveaway. Get yourself a free month of Movie Pass. I've been using it for, since last winter, and I love it. So get it now while it's still here, because they're about $4 billion in debt, so it may not be here much longer. So take advantage of that free month. But for now, it is time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll be back with a full review on Wednesday. See ya!
I really think Biff is underrated, and he may be the hero of this film. I don't know. We'll find out next. Do, 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 do.